Are there any other questions, though, or thoughts before I go galloping forward to the last part here? Day one, prosperity. The secret of prosperity is contentment, not a bank account. And if you spend an entire day or an entire week just watching yourself and asking yourself how many times the thought comes to you that I would be happier if I had more money, or the thought comes to you that I feel uneasy, I think I'll go spend some money. You know, if you just spend some time just watching yourself, you would begin to sort of get insights into how the patterns work, and you'd begin to know how to shift. Day number two, happiness, the secret of prosperity is happiness. For a determination simply to be happy attracts prosperity. Happiness is at the same time the best definition of prosperity. So if you wanted to spend another week or another day just sort of watching your mind in relationship to this, you would all of a sudden become aware of all these secret subconscious sort of just things that you're just imagining. I remember when, again, I used to live in the little trailer. On Sunday afternoons after Sunday service, there a lot of things would happen, and there would always be this sort of feeling of restlessness. And I would know that, but it was practically the only time of quiet that I would have the whole week, and that yet there was still this tremendous push once I was in motion to just keep moving, because that's how things go. But I knew that if I really spent Sunday afternoon quietly reading things that inspired me just by myself, everything would be better, but there would be always this time where I would just try to keep moving, and I would have to say very strongly to myself, you know, the restlessness you're feeling and the desire to keep moving will actually be far more centered if you just take, if you just force yourself to have this 20 minutes of transition and settle down into the quiet and the solitude. And so I would ask myself, you know, what am I really seeking here by more activity? In other words, I'd start paying attention. Like, I'm just habitually moving this way. Or I'm a person who changes their mood by going to Ross's. You know, right now I'm holding a $50 gift certificate, which was a gift, and I'll probably keep it for about 2 years because it allows me, like every time I feel a little restless, I just go out to Ross's to see if I can spend my gift certificate, right? And I do know the shopping changes my mood because it's not even buying things that much. It's just getting distracted and sort of getting off. But these are just observations about ourselves. I knew when I lived in that trailer, if I resisted the urge to keep moving and quieted down, I would have much more of what I wanted. So if you get a little aphorism like this that sort of says, what am I really putting my energy into? Because Swami writes here, I keep, you know, lifting these books because it's all in here. It's so simply spoken in here, you might not notice. He just says, your energy has to be one-pointed. Somehow I lost the fire. I just lost what I was going to say. But he was talking about your energy being one-pointed. Oh, yes. So you can't thread a needle if the threads are all in all directions. And if you don't even know that the threads are all in all directions, you can't twist it up. That's where I was trying to go. And if you just get any entry point into your awareness, it will lead you to all the other, to all the rest of it. That's why I'm saying something so simple as this. Just follow an aphorism for a day and use it as your criteria for what's happening. It will lead you to one after another. That's the tricky subconscious too, although I have more to say about it. I somehow lost my own train of thought. So does anybody have a question or a thought here? Every so often I forget what I'm talking about. All right. Oh, you asked, how do I get it? That's what you asked. How do I get myself focused besides just Kriya? That was your question. So I was suggesting, here's a practice. Now, the most, Swami writes in the Money Magnetism is January and February. Swami writes in the Money Magnetism book about the need for concentration because quantity and quality of energy. And of course, the more concentratedly you do something, I had a remarkable brain lapse the other day, which was actually almost frightening. It almost wanted me to go and have a brain scan, but I was putting on one pair of earrings, and I have all my earrings hanging on a piece of lace, putting on one pair of earrings, noticing another pair, which I didn't put any on today, noticing another pair and thinking, gee, those are pretty, I don't wear those very often. 8 hours later, I was wearing one of each set. Yeah, and I have no idea. I have no memory of the moment in which I put down the ones. I just don't know. I looked in the mirror and it was like, and it wasn't like, who cares? I'm not I'm not such a fashion plate that the world's going to stop if I'm wearing mismatched earrings. But it was just more the fact that I had lost my concentration to such an extent that I just didn't even know what I was putting on. All right? But concentration, Yogananda said something that was quite fascinating. He said, absent-mindedness and fillers, you know, just things that you do just to pass time, are the two greatest enemies to self-realization. He said, each time, each little one doesn't seem like much, but over the course of a lifetime, absent-mindedness and fillers are what really, really makes the difference between whether you progress or you don't progress. So concentration is the key. And the most important thing is to whatever you're doing, do it with your full concentration. Swami tells a story in here about just a phone number and somebody just flashing the phone number in front of him and then putting it away. And then 15 minutes later, they needed to make the call, and he said his friend was going to pull out the phone number, and he said, no need, and he recited it. She said, how could you know that? She said, I just flashed it in front of him. He said, yes, but I looked at it with complete concentration. I just took everything else out of my mind in that split second and just looked at it. So, of course, I could remember it. And she sort of thought, that's interesting, and started developing that same capability. So one of the ways to develop is to develop your concentration, and you develop your concentration by concentrating, by recognizing that this is important no matter what I'm doing, whatever I'm picking up. If I'm combing my hair, if I'm talking to someone, if I'm on the phone. I remember once someone was wanting to get one of those phone sets like this, you know, so they can be hands-free, and Swamiji said, what, so you can do something else while you're talking to people? And of course, that was the objective. But what happens when you do, I mean, I can always tell when I'm talking to someone and they start to do something else. And sometimes I'm talking to someone and I start checking my email, and then immediately they start asking me, essentially, honey, where are you? Because your mind goes away. But in our culture, I mean, I know multitasking is a valuable thing, but concentration is more important. Now, if you can concentrate on doing many things at the same time, that's fine. And you can a lot of times. You know, I can cook and talk to people often, but not always. I can often talk on the phone and also cook, but not always. You know, it just depends on what's doing. So if you make a constant habit of making sure that the quality and quantity of your energy is the utmost that you can give it, then everything begins to change. Now, did that answer your question? But Swami even says meditation is the best, and prayer is the best, and just a conscientious effort to be awake is a really good idea. I mean, you're a musician, you know how to concentrate. But we also, yeah. But we'll go with your strengths, honey. You do real good on the flute, just stay there. But I know what you mean. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the subconscious just in one very fundamental, helpful method, and that's what, and again, this is in the book, the power of positive thinking and the power of affirmation. And Swami just writes brilliantly in Money Magnetism about it in a few simple words. And he says, you have to understand that affirmation is not the same as just taking whatever doesn't please you and pushing it under the carpet. You know, to be affirmative is not to be out of touch with reality. I mean, that's like using the example which comes out of that chapter of the general. The general just can't say, no, the troops are not restless. You know, because he doesn't want the troops to be restless, he says the troops are not restless. If the troops are restless, it has to be dealt with. If you have great fears about something, you can't just pretend that you don't have those fears. But if you have conflict about what you're doing, you can't pretend that you don't have the conflict. But the image of the general that I was talking about is related to this affirmative thing. Sometimes, if you give too much energy and attention to that which is dissonant, it only becomes more dissonant, because you're giving it so much energy. Children, if they're acting up, will get your attention, will often continue to act up. Or sometimes if you ignore them, it's not working anymore. I knew, had to be in a very unfortunate association with an extremely immature so-called adult. I mean, it was really immature to the point of being completely nuts. And I gradually realized that he was just fundamentally, as long as what he did got your attention, he would keep doing it. You know, and he didn't have any sense of appropriateness, because it didn't matter. His only goal was to get your attention. And if he got energy from you, that was success. I mean, this was a crazy man. If it got energy from you, that was success, right? Now, our dissonant thoughts, if they can keep us occupied, they'll often just keep going. So you don't think that the best way to get rid of fears is to constantly examine them, or constantly think about them, or constantly worry about them, or constantly try to understand them. Once you recognize that we have a problem, you know, because we have a lot of fear, often the best way to deal with it is to create a counter force of positive energy. And that's what it really is to be positive, and that's what affirmation really is to recognize that the best way to counter energy that's going in a direction you don't want it to go is with a strong flow of energy in the way that you want it to go. And even the strong positive energy in itself is enough acknowledgement of the fact that there's an energy going the other way. I mean, that's why Ram, for example, when he had to make those phone calls, now for him by now it's instinctive. He doesn't have to stop and think about it. But he just has trained himself that there's just no point in stopping to ask myself whether I like this or not. I just keep needing to go forward with a very positive flow of energy. And of course, if I do it every day with enthusiasm and not the thought of, oh God, how much longer, but just today I make this, right now I make this call, then I make this call, then I make this call, the enthusiasm of doing that itself dissipates the thought that I don't want to do this anymore. But whereas if you let the I don't want to do this anymore cause you to put out low energy and not to concentrate, then you also don't have any fun and you want to do it less and less, right? But a positive response is also just, it really is as simple as orienting yourself toward what's happening from a positive perspective. I was amused once many years ago it was actually my first husband, and he had a slight inclination to look toward the downside of things, and I've always been a real optimist. And we were in the car, this car that we had been given to us, and we had no money and could barely afford to replace it. This was all pre-Ananda. And we were driving down the street, and all of a sudden the car did that thing that cars do. It just stopped right in the middle of the road. At the same time, he said, oh, the car is ruined. What will we do? And I said, oh, it's something small. It'll be easy to fix. And neither of us had a clue what was going on. And it was so interesting to me just sort of to see how, the orientation of our consciousness in that moment just came out. Now, it wasn't as if I didn't know whether the car was broken or not. And when I reflected on it, I realized it wasn't even that I really cared whether the car was broken or not. It was simply that whatever it is, on the great scheme of things, it's just not that large. You know, if the car is broken, we'll ride the bus. I'm not going to feel deprived. I'm just going to see whatever comes as another opportunity to do whatever is needful. And one thing will take us to the next place and to the next place. Hari Das said, Hari Das is one of the people at Ananda Village who, he may also be coming next month to your service. Yeah, you'll have to come every Sunday next month. we're going to Europe, so we're having all these guests, yeah. But Hari Das gave a Sunday service, which I didn't hear, but this is how it was told to me, where he was trying to do something, I think, related to the DMV, which, is just guaranteed to make you completely crazy. Although this country is not as bad as, I'll just a little interject. In Italy, we had a van, we meaning the greater Ananda, the cosmic we, had a van that had been given to us, and we needed to change the registration. And we tried for more than a year to register that. And we lived out in Assisi, they would drive to Rome, they would get sent from agency to agency. Don't ask me why it was so hard, but bureaucracy over there is far worse than here. I mean, they got sent to the boat docks, they tried for a year to register that vehicle. They kept trying, they couldn't get it registered. Finally, the police came and confiscated it because it wasn't registered. And they never got it back. Just bingo, it was gone. I mean, thank God for America. Yeah. Well, so Hari Das was in what is minor league compared to what can go on in other countries with the DMV, and he was just getting more and more exasperated by this just constant process that was happening. He was getting so frustrated, and he was so mad about it. And because he's a great soul, he pulled back and he thought, wait a minute. He said, I was born to have exasperating experiences so I could learn to be calm in the middle of them. You know? It's like it all depends on how you orient yourself to him. He said, I wasn't born to have everything go the way I want it to go. I was born to have challenges to meet them and to overcome them. Dharma, toward self-realization. If you never had to climb a mountain, you would never get any stronger. You would, if you just rolled downhill this whole life, where would you be at the end of it, right? Now, that's the kind of positive we're talking about. It's not the positive that says that nothing's wrong. It's the positive says that whatever is happening here is just what's supposed to happen, and I'll just meet it with dynamic energy. Because when I was 18 years old, 19 years old, and I had just began to understand this expanded way of thinking, I've always been a very quick person. When you go into our kitchen after I've cooked, every drawer is open an inch and every cabinet is slightly ajar, because I can never quite push them all closed. You know, my husband sometimes complains, and I tease him so much about, you know, he's just going to wear out his elbows and have to have them replaced from all the effort of pushing everything closed after I leave it half open, you know. But he's so, he carries through. So I've gotten into the habit of when I'm finished, I just go through and close everything. But I'm always a little bit ahead of myself. And I have to work hard to concentrate and just make this one done before I go on to the next. I'm very restless. So having that temperament, I was washing dishes simultaneously, this is when I was 19, simultaneously thinking about a lot of things, you know, halfway onto the next thing, and a voice inside of me said, "What's your hurry, honey? It's just one damn thing after another." Like my first cosmic experience. But it was a very powerful message. And it's just one damn thing after another. You know, it's not going to end till you're dead. So what's the big point? And it won't even end then, I gradually figured out, you know. So what? Where do you think you're going next? You know, you think you're going to get out of your own head at the next project? You think you're not going to have to deal with yourself when you finish the dishes and are making the lunch? Like, where are you going? It's very profound, and it's affected me all these years. God knew how to get my attention. Really, just one damn thing after another. I've used that many, many, many times. When something has happened and all of a sudden you have this, you begin to create really lousy magnetism. Now bear in mind, your total life magnetism is not like, oh, now I'll concentrate on creating good magnetism for my life. Om, om, om. But you know, over here, that you can be impatient and rattled and agitated and unconcentrated and complaining and deprived. And then over here you go, om, om, om. It's going to be all okay. You know, it's moment by moment by moment by moment. Every single time. And positive energy is just finding a way to be positive and enthusiastic in that moment. Now, maybe it means, and I certainly use this, I have actual, real word affirmations that I've either created for myself or have gotten out of Kriyananda's books or Yogananda's books. When I'm in India and I see people there that are just, you know, are poor and I feel terrible and I don't know what to do, I say to myself, Divine Mother, bless us all. And that's just like sort of gets me in the picture, gets all of them, and I use that mantra very, very continuously when I'm there because I see so many things I don't know how to relate to. Divine Mother, bless us all. And I'm loving them, I'm loving myself, I'm relaxing it. It's like I keep my subconscious fears and anxieties about their condition at bay with this positive force. I'm acknowledging that something is happening to upset me, but I'm moving it forward with positive energy. When I feel anxious about work I have to do and I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it, I say, I know, this is from Yogananda, I know God's power is infinite, and as I am made in His image, I too have the strength to overcome all obstacles. And that just saves my life over and over again, because here I'm faced with something and this time I think I'm not going to be able to do it, but I say, I know God's power is infinite. Now I'm going to deconstruct that affirmation so that you'll also be able to understand how and why it works. You've got to be affirmative in a way that is the right step for you. You know, I can't just say, oh, God is in charge and this is all a dream. Because when I'm there with it in front of me, I can't remember that God's in charge. You know, I am in charge. My subconscious has decided that me, the little ego, is in charge. So I have to give my subconscious some kind of a bridge that it can really hold on to. So I read through all the affirmations. I found this one. I know God's power is limitless. Now for me, I know God's power is limitless. You know, no part of me says, oh yeah, really? You know, I just know that that's true. Talking about myself, you have to figure it out for you. I know God's power is limitless. Right on, I'm with you. And as I am made in His image, that too I understand. I really do feel that God's power is limitless and I'm a part of that. I have I have very strong faith in that fact. You know, not beyond testing, but very strong. And then it says, as I am made in his image, I too have the strength. Now, we're getting a little iffy here, you know, but it's irrefutable up to this point. So now comes the point where I have to put out a little more concentration. I too have the strength to overcome all obstacles. And I don't already know it, but it connects enough with what I already know that it remains entirely positive for me to say that. You know, I can't say everything is perfect. Everything is perfect and God is sending me just what I need. I mean, sometimes I can say that, sometimes I'm not. But that affirmation wouldn't work for me. I have to go where it works for me. In Yogananda's own book of affirmations, he talks about some people go by feeling, some people go by willpower, some people go by wisdom. And so he writes different affirmations for different kinds of people. Because some people are much more able, they work better if they go by wisdom. And that's sort of what that one is. It's a little bit of both. But it's like I take the concepts that I cannot refute, and I have a lot of strength in my mind. And sometimes you want a concept that just, like, Divine Mother bless them all. In India, that my feeling nature, and that really works for me there, you see. So to be affirmative, these are all these different ways. But don't think that to be affirmative is just affirmation. To be affirmative is to reframe every situation in a positive way. A friend of mine was saying, I get out of balance. How did he put it? He said, I really get out of balance. And so then I have to do so and so. And I said, no, don't say I really get out of balance. Say, I have to be constantly attentive and keep refining my direction. It's such a difference. You know, I have to just keep refining my direction. And that's the same as saying I get out of balance. But why say I get out of balance? Say I constantly refine my direction. It's the same statement. But one is a positive forward looking, here's where I'm going. Another is a backward looking sense of failure. And what is the quality of your magnetism? The quality of your magnetism is your moment by moment orientation to what's happening to you. And if the quality of your magnetism is that I am a person who always gets out of balance, then where are you going to attract what you want? Because why would what you want come to a person who's always out of balance? Do you see? The thought form is, I'm off center. Nothing's going to come to me. I'm off center. But I'm constantly refining my direction. You see right there, it's the same statement. But you see how dynamic that is and how forward-looking and how much energy there is in that? So you have to really recognize that these little tiny thoughts that we dismiss as nothing make the difference. You know, what did I just say? Fillers and lack of awareness. Yeah, just empty-mindedness. Be aware every time, because you're building your future, step by step. And you make even one of these small changes, everything will change. You become aware even of one of these habits, and everything will change. You know, you don't have to take everything. You just take one little tiny piece and really work with it. Everything becomes different. And accept profoundly in your soul, this is poison to me. You know, I want to be rich tomorrow. I have to say I am refining my direction. You know, right in this minute, there's just a cause and effect relationship because it's all magnetism and energy. And also, I get out of balance. Makes you discouraged. You don't want to do it anymore. If you say I'm refining my direction, you say, well, how? What am I going to do next? You see? We have so much power inside ourselves if we'll just use it. All right. Any other comments or thoughts or questions? If not, we might be just about done. So this is your last chance. I think I gave a 7-hour class in 2.5 hours. Yes. Oh, we've used a whole lot of them, you know, at different times, collectively and individually. I've never focused on prosperity because it's not been an area that I needed to work on. So I've been more a part of group sessions about those kinds of affirmations.
There are just some parts of that.
What? Tell me what you mean.
I wouldn't mind hearing it the way you construct it.
Not being able to conjure it up. If you offer it to me, I can.
I mean, I've memorized it, but
right.
There are parts.
Well, you know, the essence of that one, and I do know it, and I've recited it. I've never memorized it and used it because it didn't come across my radar screen as where I personally needed to go. An affirmation like that is a marvelous affirmation because it's just taking it right from the top. It's a devotee's affirmation. See, that's an affirmation for a devotee. And that's an by devotee, I don't mean merely someone who's devoted to God, but also someone whose energy comes from a sense of feeling. Because the essence of that affirmation is not so much the individual phrases of it, is the whole sort of flow of just, God is mine and I am God and we are in such a great game together and everything in the universe is ours and what do I ever have to worry about? That's sort of where it comes from. And even the rhythm of it, you know, I am God's child, what is mine is, you know, and it's sort of like you get into that because in it, getting really deeply into that one just shifts you into a bhav, a devotional bhav, a devotional place where you will then know what to do, right? And also just the saying of it over and over again is such a simple answer. I am God's child and everything he has is mine. Every single little time that you feel any sense of separation or anxiety about what's going to come to you, but it's a childlike affirmation, which could be quite suitable for you, and also for me in certain moods, you know, is just, but I'm God's little child, and you just kind of put yourself into that bhav, and not try to be Bill Gates, you know. If you're trying to be a strong, competent person, don't use that affirmation. Because that's not an affirmation that's going to take you into strong, competent thinking. You know, and in fact, I mean, it's interesting. I have the strength to overcome all obstacles. You see, I'm trying to go somewhere else. I'm trying to, you know, get my power focused on this. And that one is more about, forget all that. Just let me get into this bhav of relationship to Divine Mother. Now, you may end up just as competent and just as strong, but the competency will come out of a kind of childlike feeling about life. And a kind of childlike sort of relationship to things and an innocence that will also create just the right magnetism to attract what you want. And you see how different they are? Yeah. And I probably, in fact, as you say this to me, I think maybe I'll change affirmation. That sounds like more fun, you know, than what I've been doing. But I've always sort of been trying to be strong and competent. So when I hear those, I have a harder time. I'm too mental. And see, that's what he says in there. Some people are too mental. I have to first get my head really satisfied. Then my heart does real well. But some people can just like get their heart really satisfied and then their head will follow. I'm a little bit more male than female in that respect. And of course, you're very balanced. I'm actually very balanced too. It just depends on which door you're coming in, which year of your life it is, what side of it you're balancing, what your project is. Okay, does that help? That was a good question. Okay, anything else? Well, what I want to say is go forth and prosper. All right, thank you. God bless you.